Okay, we're ready. So, well, we've got a little ways to go here, and then we have to turn around and go back and finish the original conversation about the authority of man, which sort of was a diversion, because then we have to go back and finish our discussion of suscitation. The idea was that, okay, if we're going to talk more about suscitation a while back, and should somebody succeed, I guess maybe we better discuss what success is all about. We got to discuss all these things about, do you have the authority to do this? What is that authority? What is your eternal self? All of these kinds of things. So it hasn't been we haven't gone astray. And I'm keeping track of it, so we can go back. But anyway, and then next week, unless something really goes amok, gonna do a put all of this together. I'm going to put all of the aspects of your personal self, eternal self, all that stuff together in one flowing presentation, and then we will back up and take another run at everything. Tonight we start with the life and experiences of your body seem limited to the five senses of taste, touch, smell, sight, and sound. Of course, before we go much further than that, everybody there understands that your physical body is your eternal being, do you not? Because if you do understand that, then you understand that the five senses of taste, touch, smell, sight, and sound might not be the only senses of your body. But if you don't think that your body is your eternal being, then you might limit yourself to those five senses of taste, touch, smell, sight, and sound. So everybody, I'm assuming, before I move another step forward, you already understand how it is that we can say that your body is your eternal being, right?
Not right.
Why not right?
I haven't got a really functional picture or an image that works for me. I seem to kind of hold this place that the eternal being is certainly physical, but non-visible physical. And when I try to marry that up with the eternal being is my body, it kind of collides a bit. And I'm not sure I have a sufficient understanding to really go with it.
Well, maybe you're making a mistake in your sentence there. Could you not perceive that your body, the body you can see, feel, touch, taste, and smell, and listen to, is something that, as you said, you can see, but that the body, that there is an aspect of your body that you cannot see that is and does portray your eternal being? Will you go there?
So is and portrays?
Yeah. If you do something, allow me that. If you do something, could we not say that what is occurring is what you are doing, and in a sense what you are portraying in that doing.
Okay, yeah.
So, I can see what you're doing, but I may or may not be able to see or know what it is that you're doing portrays.
And so, that implies then that the eternal being is a hell of a lot more direct participant in what I'm doing than I have hitherto forgiven it credit for.
That's right, because in the communion of your eternal self and personal self, it is, as you would say, as you do with your body, it is doing along with your body as well. The communion is there. Essentially, if you even don't know that it is there, you are in a tense. Remember, we used to say, well, even if you don't know, you're then that you're living your eternal being, even if you don't know it. The issue is then you can use that as an excuse to say, well, then, okay, I'm living my eternal being. So what difference does it make? I might as well just keep on doing my fat, dumb, and happy stuff. And I'm living my eternal being. Well, yeah, that's true. I guess it could go that way. And that's one of the offerings of life. But wouldn't it be less troublesome if you saw yourself both and understood and knew yourself both as a personal being, and you can watch your body doing personal stuff, and as an eternal being and watch your body and the things you do doing eternal stuff as well.
And so even when I engage in some kind of very direct cause and effect action, whatever it is, if I care to look, I can see what is being portrayed about eternal being.
Or you may even see that it is portraying your eternal being. The action itself may be portraying the eternal being directly.
So like when you originally got us doing the Superman stories, and then more recently you've spoken of it in terms of beginning stories, that you know, in my own drafts, it's the language I use spoke in quite directly as personal path terms, but those words also reflected what eternal being was saying as well. Is that true?
Yeah, if you'll allow, that reflected what eternal being is saying. Now, here's an important question. Who's doing the reflecting? Who is the puppet master for the eternal being? You see, what you've often done, and with most people, you've treated the eternal being as a superior, all-wise, knowing thing which is speaking to you, talking to you, telling you, wisely guiding and protecting you. Whoa, wait a minute here. Maybe, and in fact this is true, you are wisely guiding and protecting your eternal being. Or throwing it all away.
Yeah, I was going to ask what that wisely guiding and protecting.
But that means also that your eternal being is not operating or functioning independent of you. You can function independent of your eternal being, but your eternal being cannot function independent of you.
Yeah.
not in any significant way. I'm trying to do this so that you wouldn't treat that eternal being or eternal self in any way as a superior guiding, like saying God is talking to me, he told me to do this. That you don't use your eternal being in that way, is that your eternal being told you to do this, to be wise and do these things. That's really not true. Are you reasonably okay with it?
Yeah, because I've got an image now that says that, it's almost impossible to separate the two, personal being and eternal being, but in fact, they are two distinct points of view.
There you go.
Is that correct?
That's correct. And they have different meanings and different significances and different relationships. And yet they are not one, they are a communion. Different in that regard means then, yeah, you can separate or move your awareness or your mind or consciousness from personal being to eternal being in that regard and understand yourself from an entirely different perspective.
So going back to the original question about whether or not all of us have a good functioning understanding that the body is the eternal being, then I think I follow that that's part of the inseparable communion. It's there.
Okay, let's assume that's the case. Now there's two questions. How can you know your eternal being and in this regard? Let's start with that. And how can you know that the physical body which is composed and dies is eternal? I mean, it doesn't do you any good if you can't answer both of those questions. And you're welcome to call for help.
Yeah. Part of what comes up for me is that if I can see that I'm functioning on memories, then I can be reasonably confident that I'm operating personal being, from the point of view of personal being. And I think if I can, and if I'm experiencing...
How are you going to be able to... If a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass. The question is, how are you going to know memory from memories? And even if you do, what is it that allows you in any way to really have confidence in the body and the appearance or the whatever of the body is in fact what we've looked at and said all these years, and all of these wise people in the universe have said for centuries and centuries that your material body decays and rots and goes to hell. Now, where and how are you going to overcome that obvious view or concept of your personal body to tell me that, oh, no, you don't understand, Roger. This is my eternal being. Because if you can't even begin to deal with that question, you see, then no matter what you do, you wouldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. So then at the base of this, are we really talking about that even personal being, I want to see if I can find a way to continue life.
Okay.
I think from a personal point of view, I probably want to see that path somehow survives death.
And, oh yeah! Oh, wait a minute now. Oh, wait a minute. We got to back off here. We were talking about your body. Let's back up here. Can you conceive of yourself without a body?
Yes.
Well, if you can conceive of yourself without a body, then you, the you that we're talking about at the present time, must be mind. But what we're talking about is, how is your body, not you, you're something else, you're an occupying the body. How is it that your body is in itself your eternal being? Gotta cover all the bases and close all the doors.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because I don't have an answer for that. How is that the body is actually the eternal being? And even though the I that you were talking about and talking to is the occupier of the body.
Okay. Let me pursue this then from, first of all, if you are absolutely assured that you, this occupier of the body, goes on, do you care whether Pat goes on?
No, not at all.
So, what we're saying here is, if we can break this down a little bit, you're not really fixated on a soul, an immortal soul. Because an immortal soul says that there is an aspect of you that never dies. Are you willing to accept then that Patrick doesn't have to go on as long as this you, whomever, whatever that you might be, you are assured that you go on, like in doing past lives and discussing past lives. Oh, well, there you were a samurai, and then you were a Roman judge, and then you were something else, and then you were something else, and then you were a pilot, and now you're Pat. In every one of those lives, it never said that there was an aspect of you that was continuing. In each one of those lives, the you that was described was completely different. Yeah, it wasn't even you. Is that okay
That's
with
right,
you?
That each one of, I suddenly see that each one of those was uniquely different.
Aha.
Uniquely different.
But in saying they are your past lives, they can be uniquely different in every moment or in every era. And is that enough to assure that the unnamed you right now goes on? But maybe
yeah.
Patrick doesn't go on.
I think that unnamed you that you speak of is, to me, is that satisfactory? More than satisfactory, but that's fine. That's okay.
Okay. Because maybe what we could say is this. Maybe life is functioning in a way that if you went on, then you'd carry all your crap with you. But if
yeah,
you...
Patrick, you mean.
the Patrick stuff. And before Patrick stuff, and before Patrick stuff, you would be subject to all the crap that you did before, and carry that on. How would you get forgiveness of sins? How would you get cleared of all your crap? What would you do? Would you play the karma role out till the end? Well, for every bad thing you've done, you've got to do a good thing so that you can cleanse yourself in the clear water of karma. That's what everything says. Is that what you want?
No.
Oh, so maybe going on is important, but not continuing is even more important.
And you're saying the nature of existence provides for that?
Well, yeah. Because when I say that your physical, that's right, the nature of the universe not only provides for that, it functions totally in that way. So, maybe we've resolved the beginning standard here in this regard of saying, well, okay, as long as I go on, I don't have to go on. I don't have to continue. Fact is, not continuing, going on, but not continuing the same old crap would be pretty good. How's that?
That sounds pretty good. That's right.
Okay. That's the foundation upon which we are proceeding with this conversation. Okay?
Okay.
If we proceed with this conversation on that basis, are you willing to accept that eternal can be recurring, that's okay?
Eternal, the definition of eternal is then it's recurring.
Right.
Yes.
Which is what I've constantly defined eternal as recurring, not as immortal. And I also said, do not treat this as reoccurring. And the reason for that is because reoccurring means the same thing is occurring over and over and over and over and over. I want you to treat it as recurring, as, well, wait a minute, that means I can recur differently in every life. And I'm still recurring. And the unknown, unseen, unaware of me is still doing it. Though it's not me, it's different. Because I'm different in every moment anyway. Is that okay?
That's fine, yep.
Okay. Now, if that's okay, then the question is, how can we look at the body as recurring somehow or other, which is what I said, when we all have absolutely declared the body and the mortal existence decays, rots, and goes to hell. And we're all doing that slowly. Well, the question is this, what I brought up several weeks ago, is that do you understand that your body has a father and a mother?
Yep, I even met them.
Well, I've not met mine. Well, I did, but barely. Are you willing to accept that your father and mother of your body had a father, each had a father and a mother?
Yep.
And
that's
each
biology.
Of those... You what?
That's biology.
No, that's right. That is biology, isn't it? But also, it's more than biology. And so we can say, as you keep going backwards, that there's a spreading root of your body that has grandparents and great-grandparents of grandparents and great-great-grandparents and so the further we go back, your body gets to be almost, well, we could say numerous, but we could almost say it's all dang near unlimited, could we not?
Yes, we could.
And then could we not, could you not look at each and the DNA of your body today is like a telephone line that enables you to contact each and every one of these previous individuals, the same way as when you give a past life reading, you are an essentially using the DNA or one other form of communication to telephone, to tap into, to understand, to describe that particular life, which may be the grandfather of the grandfather of the grandmother. You okay with that?
Yep.
And in that, I said, this is your past life, but it's not you, and you didn't live it. You see, what you've always wanted in a past life was a continuing you that lived it. And I'm saying, no, wait just a minute now. That is your past life because you gain all the benefits from that, as that's a proper definition of the possessive word you, your. It's your past life because you gain the benefits from that, and but you, before we go to Anne, but you didn't, that wasn't you, and you didn't live that. Now we're talking about recurring in of the same way. It is you, it is yours, but as a recurring, it ain't you. It ain't you as Pat. Do you understand that?
So there's we're talking about two things here, are we?
I don't know.
There is the chromosome telephone line, the genetic telephone line that allows me to go and access almost infinite lives, and they're not me. That's correct. But I can access them.
Well, what in the world allows you to do that?
The data and information that's passed along through the DNA.
No, yes and no in that regard, but what enables you to access that? The DNA serves only as a, well, it is a pass-on manner and way, but it's serving you mostly as a telephone line, an access line. So what makes you able to then access great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother's grandfather?
It would seem that then, does this link us then to memory?
In a sense it does, but the memory is merely a part of what enables you to do this. What enables you to do this is entanglements, or Einstein's spooky theory, which said that any two things once entangled. Now, entangled really means two things that are conjoined, not one, but conjoined or united in such a way that it is difficult to separate the two. Not impossible, not undoable, but difficult. In other words, intimately, you're joined at the hip. So you would say, well, wait a minute then, yeah, the DNA entangles me with my great-great-great-great-great-grandmother's grandfather. That's true. And we might say in that then that if I were to separate those two once entangled beings, because your body through the DNA has carries that entanglement per se, that then if I separate those two over time and space, which by the way tonight we're going to discuss a weird thing about time, but take this for now. If I separate those two, your great-grandmother's grandmother's 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 grandfather, and you, separate you by time and space, maybe that grandfather was in Arabia and you're in Canada and there's a lot of years in between, that if you affect one, then the other, as Einstein says, reacts instantaneously as if they were still attached. And he said instantaneously means then that there was no time lag, it happened, and so therefore they're not communicating. They're not calling up on each other and say, hey, I just got swatted in the ass, better act accordingly. It's an instantaneous goings on. That's why he called it a spooky theory. Of course, he was treating it as half a particle, and entanglements now have expanded. Wait a minute, you know, that brings up a point here. Not only have entanglements expanded, not just merely as two halves of a particle, because they are really one joined at one time, but we're now talking about two individuals that are entangled, you and your grandmother's grandfather's great-great-great-grandmother's grandfather, whatever. You're entangled through the nature of DNA. And the DNA then, DNA actually is functioning in that regard as memory would be functioning. You okay with that?
Yep.
So memory is that connection, not memories, but memory is that connection that allows faster than speed of light, like a flashing bullet. It allows that reaction between, wait a minute, this brings up something else. That means, allow me to, you see, this is the problem with all this stuff. It's so intertwined. That means that the past is not dead and gone, right? That the past...
No, very much.
Huh?
Very much so, not dead and gone.
That's right. So then, well, we'll come up to that in a minute, but it is not dead and gone because you can still contact, read, look at, explain, be part of, and live like a regression, relive your grandmother's great-great-great-great-grandmother's grandfather. How about them apples? So, the past is still alive. It isn't dead and gone and passed away, and there's nothing you can do about it. Whoa, hey, wait a minute. This is getting pretty interesting. Well, under the basis of eternal be recurring, then we could say, going forward or backwards, that your body today is the recurring of great-grandfather's grandfather's great-grandfather's grandfather, and his son and mother, and I mean his son and daughter and son and daughter and daughter, and down we have the body that is Patrick. So whether you go forwards or backwards from that, then that each ancestral step of life is, wait a minute, that's a recurring. The body is recurring along each step of life, is it not? And because it's not the same body, that doesn't matter, because it is the recurring that matters for you. Therefore, the body is itself then eternal. Nothing says it is the same body that is eternal, but a body that is eternal.
Have I
done? You okay with that, reasonably so? I mean, will you allow that? I mean, is that enough of an explanation to say, goddamn right, my body is eternal. Not the same one, but I'm assured of continued life of my body. Because?
So, may I ask a question?
I have an answer.
Are all my ancestors part of my eternal being, though?
The answer is yes and no. Yes, they are, but they're not unless you make them so.
Yeah.
In other words, they're there, and they may or may not be functioning, but you certainly can make them function more directly, because remember, the functioning of all of this, of your eternal self, depends on you, not the eternal self functioning. So, therefore, we can say they are not potential, but you can make them alive or not.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah.
Roger, I have a question. I haven't quite caught up with you to this yet. Why limit the past lives to the gene pool or the family tree? There's a lot of lives that died, early or without, offspring and things like that.
Oh yeah, even so, as you spread back from you, you've got mother and father of your mother and father, that's four, and then you have mother and father of your grandparents, which becomes eight. So any one life in and of itself may reach a dead end, but you're spreading back through such a broad pattern that they're not having children does not dead end your eternalness in that regard.
Okay, and then just as a I understand. Second question is though, why limit it to the gene pool at all? Why not just over a gap or something, like into family trees that you were never part of, or countries, or planets, or etc.
Well, I'm trying to get you to understand even this in terms of a gene pool. Do you want to expand this?
Well, sure, if we're here, yeah.
I mean, if we're going to talk about eternal, let's really, 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 really talk about eternal.
Okay.
What I've said before is that in each case, you are aware of everyone that by this process that we've talked about, everyone that you've been entangled with, but at each level you are or can be aware of everyone that your grandmother's great grandfather's grandmother has ever been entangled with.
Okay.
So you see how it's spreading out?
Yeah, that's more what I would expect. So I just kind of wondering.
Well, if we can't get it accepted just within your own lineage in that regard, then there's no sense in going. But that you are entangled with those which you have a direct connection through your DNA. But you also are entangled not with the DNA connection, but you are entangled with those individuals that those individuals have been entangled with.
Okay.
A life allows, not only allows, supports and encourages this self-awareness. You see, what you happen to do is when you talk about know yourself, wait a minute. Do you understand that if you were to know, you normally think of knowing yourself about your life today, and you limit it to that. And then I come to town and say, wait a minute, let's talk about your past lives. Oh boy, great, wonderful, exciting, isn't it? Past lives, wow. get to know yourself, you gotta know your past lives. Hey, neato! Now I come back and say, wait a minute. You really wanna know yourself, you gotta know all of these past lives which weren't you. Oh, hey, wait. This is getting to be just to know myself. Wait a minute. If these are part of you that you can access, then, must be part of you if you want to know yourself. Well, so then we whimper and whine a little bit, and then I say, oh, well, I forgot to tell you. You also, if you want to know yourself, have to know everything about everything that everybody in the past ancestors has ever been entangled with. Holy shit. This is getting too expansive. How will I ever know all of that? Are you understanding what I've said?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, what I've said...
I never considered it out that far, I guess.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's true. Now, if you really want to understand yourself, you got to really understand that.
Okay.
Maybe you don't.
Well, that's more what I expected.
Oh, yeah, but this is true. Maybe what you need to do, and this is, among other things, called suscitation, what you need to do is to know how to access that. It's like, gee whiz, I've got one of these phones that gives me access to all this information. I got worlds of information. Yeah, but how can you access it? Well, that's all right. I got Google on my side to call it up for me whenever I want information. You don't have to have that in your mind, but you have to know. Until now, you had to go to a library and look at a library card or an index in the library. Now you just carry this around in your pocket. Is there a way, you could only access what they've put into that system. Now what I'm saying is, isn't it possible that you can to know yourself, you access all this, you know how to access all of this information. Isn't that more important, maybe, than having your mind cluttered with all of this information, but knowing how to access it when you need it or want it? Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Yeah, when you were talking about it, all of it, that's overwhelming. It's just overwhelming. But being able to access it as I see fit makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh, and that's part of true listening.
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know, you use your little phone and you wiggle your finger and it moves, etc., which is true viewing. What we're looking at in a lot of information is true listening. We okay with this?
Yep.
Now, a funny thing happened to me on the way to this discussion. If you want to know something, you can Google it up, can you not?
Sure can.
How could you possibly Google up knowing yourself? Who to Google? What to Google? Is it possible that, as I said before, if you tell me what you want or want to be, I'll tell you who you are? That means then that if you tell me what you want, I can Google it up and show you that that's who you already are. I can find a relative, an ancestor, an entangled being somewhere that I can show you that is exactly who you are. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you afraid to be Googled that way?
No, since you can show me, can you show me how?
Can I... Well, do you remember when I said to you that particles are kind of weird? That particles that create the original particle.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, I've said, you know, you and your life and understanding yourself are a little weird, because you can create past lives that create you. You tell me what you want, and then in this whole process, you can Google up a past life that, whether you want to be, or even if you want. If you want to be, then through the whole pattern of past lives in this regard, which, by the way, as we've said, are yours but not you, you can Google up a past life for you. And that relative to what you want to be. And that past life, then, you have awakened that and enlivened that, and that lifetime, that past life, then, that you've Googled up, creates you as you are today. In other words, it says, hey, this is who you are, Patrick. How about them? But just like Google, you can't just say, okay, Google me what we want. You have to type in what you want. Tell me who or what you want to be, and you've got to make that reasonable decision or declaration or announcement, or tell the frigging world or yourself or somebody what it is or who it is that you want to be, so we can Google that up for you the same way as we did with regression. How do you do that? Well, didn't we do that with a regression? And in the regression, when we did that, it was also possible for us to say, Google up the life that explains or tells about or whatever. Then can we not say that if you tell me what it is you want and who it is you want to be, we can use a regression as a process, a way to then Google up the past life that says, well, hey, here you are. You wanted to be this, here you are. You're it. We okay with this, Patrick?
Sure am. It's coming together very nicely, thank
you. Okay. Now, you know, that's okay, but there might be simpler ways to do this, and I showed you this months and months and months ago in a vision of a visionary, in saying then that if you tell me 8 things that you have done these things. They didn't do them for themselves, and it didn't happen to you. Something you have done, then, that you are proud of, happy about, but especially proud of. That if you give me that list of things, the reason I ask for those is because in doing things of that nature which you are very proud of, it is that you are proud of that because you and your eternal self, you as a physical body with eternal self awareness, did this thing. Then if we look backwards from the thing that you've listed, I can show you to your eternal self. Remember we did that months ago?
Yes.
So that's a simpler, easier, quicker, understandable way than that you can, how can you do this? Do it. So, if we understand this, then what we've talked about is then we've demonstrated in some way or another, whether you believe it or accept it or not, it's okay for me. I don't care if it's okay for you, but I've explained it to you now. I've showed you how your physical body, as recurring eternal, is eternal. And it is your eternal being. And in this, then, I've showed how you can Google it up, or I can take you directly there through a reading, or take me there through a reading, or take you there directly through a regression in this regard, or I can take you there simply by or see you from those items that you give me as an example of eight things that you are extremely proud of. And why the eight things? The first item itself. Wait a minute here now. We got something going here we got to talk about. The first item, like the incipit of understanding your dreams, reveals your eternal self, and then the other seven things show your eternal self in action. That eternal self that is portrayed in the first one. Well, I can take all those eight things and throw them up in the air, establish a new order, different order of them, pick one out, and make that the first one, and I get a different view of the same thing, which before was just merely an action, now becomes a prime action, and I have a different view of your eternal self. Holy mackerel there. So, that is like calling up everything you've ever been entangled with in this regard. In a sense, is your eternal self. Yeah. But you can call it up and rely on, and wait a minute. If you call it up, then you are creating your eternal self. It was there, but it wasn't there. So by calling it up, you're creating it. It's not there in potential. It just flat doesn't exist. But as soon as you want it, hey, the universe says, here's the way you can get it. Hey, this is the way we can show you that you already is it. Are you still with me there, Patrick?
I'm following real close.
All right. You don't have to believe it. But I hope then that in understanding this, that when we say know yourself, it's important to know how to know yourself. But because otherwise it's just too damn much information. You can't carry all that around in your head. You can't even carry it around in your pants pocket. Old Steve Jobs thought he could carry it around in his watch pocket, but he didn't get to do that. Okay, let's go back to your ordinary, simple, I understand this kind of shit sort of life. And that is, the life and experiences of your body seem limited to the five senses of taste, touch, smell, sight, and sound. Isn't that disgusting? Why in the world, with all of this easily accessed data and information about who you really, really, really are, would you limit yourself to the five senses of your body? And then, worse than that, your body reacts, desires, and expresses and experiences according to what it senses in that regard. But maybe I make this statement, but in this, there is no real life at all. If you compare those five senses and what you get, and it gets worse, it gets narrower, with what you have access to. And I've been trying to give you the keys to accessing some of these things. By comparison, taste, touch, smell, sight, and sound's pretty wimpy. But then, just to make things worse, instead of living your life or your embodied life creatively by telling your body what to sense, you limit yourself to what it does sense. Wait a minute. If I can Google this stuff up, and I can, and if I can do my past life, and I can, and I can call those up, gee, then I can tell my body to sense each one of those lives in any way that I want the body to sense that. And I live creatively by telling my senses what to sense. How about them apples? You okay with that?
You're sensing time and space.
What?
You're sensing across time and space.
In a sense, we could say, I'm sensing beyond time and space.
What's the difference between across and beyond?
Because your great-grandmother's grandmother's grandmother's grandfather's great-son doesn't exist in time and space. When you say across time and space, it is something that must already exist in time and or still exist in time and space. And that was the beginning sentence of your story that limited you. Because what I'm doing in talking about here is going beyond time and space. If you think that we still got another hour. Maybe we'll make it. If we get through going through some of this stuff, I'm going to show you some weird things about time. Okay? So allow me that what I'm trying to talk about in all of this is it isn't alive in you. You go beyond time and space to bring it alive in you. Okay?
Okay.
And that is where you limited yourself in your first sentence. We kind of discussed a little of that while you weren't here last week. But you see then your expansiveness and your true eternalness and awareness is knowing yourself beyond time and space. Okay.
I think I'm beginning sense of the difference, yes.
Okay. But worse than that, after you sense everything, you then squinch it down to good or bad, right or wrong, this or that, enjoy, attention, everything. You put what you sense into a duality and even narrow it more. You're working hard to make your life narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. And what I'm trying to say, wait a minute, you got all the tools you need to make it more expansive and greater and more extensive ever than you thought possible. Why not use the tools? Well, you'd say, I don't want to do the tools. Okay, that's fine. But I'm showing that you do have the tools, and you do have, like I don't own one of those weird phones. Yes. If you can do it directly, why do you need one of those phones? Okay. Well, wait just a minute. Worse than that, when you want some information, where do you look? Unfortunately, you look within. You look within your body and your brain and limit yourself and your life to what you sense there. Now that's kind of foolish. It's like, that's almost as bad as looking within time and space and see what you sense there. Rather than looking within, why don't you get out? Get out of yourself and get involved. Simply because the more you entangle yourself, that with all of that, that's everything around you, whether it's near at hand or really afar or beyond time and space, the more you entangle yourself, the more access you have. You got applications of all sorts of things and you didn't have to pay extra for them. So, are you willing to be emergent in a way then that you have far, far more or different or other entanglements in the next moment and the next moment and the next moment, and that those entanglements give you the access to yourself? Well, pretty soon, if you did that, you'd start saying, whoa, there's more me than I ever thought there was, and there's more to life than I've ever sensed before. Wait a minute. Even worse than this, after you divided everything up in twosomes, who's got the open mic making all this noise? Is everybody else getting noises?
Yep. Yeah, I'm hearing it.
I hear it too.
So are we? If you're hearing it, you're probably not making it. So somebody who didn't answer has probably got an open mic. So, after you've made it a duality in that regard, you make it worse by judging it. The question is this. Are you willing to live naturally? Are you willing to live your true nature? Because what I've said in all of this, your true nature, if you understand this, is that expansiveness beyond time and space. Your true nature is emergent. Your true nature is access to all of these entanglements in your life. That's your true nature. It is trying to live causally, or to cause what you want, that deprives you of living your true nature in that regard.
You're saying our struggle in life is that we're living against our true nature.
Every moment of every day.
Okay. And we feel that and we sense that.
But you got to understand one thing, and here's the problem. You misinterpret true nature as being that which is natural for you to do. What is natural for you to do, like cause and effect, is natural for you to do, but that's not your true nature. So, living naturally or living your true nature is living self-evidently without the discontent of conflicts, judgments, and reactions. So, when you are living any discontent, then you know you're not living your true nature.
Okay.
So, then the question is, are you willing to live in a natural state or condition, let's say, of joy? Joy meaning, in that I'm using it, it means without discontent. Are you willing to live in that natural state rather than seeking pleasure or seeking the excitement of your senses? If you're willing to do that, to live in that natural state, then it seems that you need to, or should, tell your senses what to sense. If your senses tell you what they've sensed, you would put that into a judgment, a problem, a limitation, a restriction, etc. But what I'm saying here is that you have the ability to, as in true listening or regression or whatever, you can do that instantaneously. You don't have to go through that long, involved process. that you can tell yourself, your senses, what to sense. You can Google up what it is you want to sense and sense that and tell your senses to sense that. But you got to type it into your Google. The question is, have you ever considered that your struggles and conflicts in life are maybe simply because you've been so busy reacting that you improperly announce yourself to the world around you?
Improperly?
Improperly. Hey, maybe you even neglected to declare to the world around you who you are. Your Google isn't going to work unless you type it in. The world isn't going to work for you unless you announce yourself. And you can't just make it up and say, well, this is me. Announce yourself is based on living who you truly are. That's the announcement that we're talking about. Or declaring who you truly are and living that. Well, maybe from all of this, those people say then that your past only exists in memories. Well, that's not true. Actually, your past exists in memory. It exists in your DNA. Your past is not dead and gone. It is as active and alive today as you choose to make it be. Actually, you know, you're steeped in your past and you didn't realize it. And the reason you didn't realize it is because everything you sense in the universe is past. I've said that a dozen times. But you really get an understanding of what that means. It means if everything that you sense is past, it means that the universe has been preparing its... Wait a minute. The universe is living one step ahead of you, creating a past as an environment for you to live when you wake up. Got it?
No,
you don't got it. Do you really?
I'm beginning to get the picture here that how that must be.
So, then that the universe is always a step ahead of you, creating an environment for you to exist in. For you to particularize and personalize and live in as you desire. The universe is ahead of you to accommodate you, to reveal you, to serve you.
So is this any way like you preview every, you know, major event in your life through your dreams?
Does it?
Anything like that?
Does it?
Huh?
Does it?
Does it? I'm not sure. I think we do if I understand what's been happening and looking at my dreams.
So if we go, if we do that and we say the dreams are what I've sensed, then in that regard, we could even say the universe is preparing an environment to tell you what it is you're going to sense and live in and accommodate.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Hey, damn, it's living...
How far ahead do you actually see the universe doing this? If dreams are about a week to 2 weeks, I'm just curious how far the universe is ahead.
Can't you predict something even further than that?
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
Oh, so yeah. Then the universe is living or producing or creating way the hell ahead of you. Up to now, you thought that you and the universe were so in sync that everything you did right now together, and it was making itself for you right now as a simultaneous event. Not so.
Right.
The universe has been way ahead of you all along, creating a past just so you have something to know.
Right. But as so, it's far ahead creating, but if I'm aware of, as I become aware of that, if I want to change the way I'm living, I can do that.
Well, maybe you can.
I think.
But maybe you could then, if it also tells you, like in dreams, what it is you are going to experience and live, then in the same way as in past lives, then you could do a reading on a future life.
Yeah, I think I'm beginning to have a better sense.
So the universe has already created that for you to be living.
Right. That's interesting.
Oh. Maybe you are already living that life.
So, right. So past lives would be lives that we were already living.
But you're living those past lives today if you then make them active in your life.
Right. So what I make active today is the past I have today, which might be different than the past that's active tomorrow, because I'm active tomorrow different.
So, okay. That's right. True in every moment.
I'm getting that.
The question is, if the universe is creating a past for you to live in, who might you be creating your past for? Well, we can say this. Strange as it may seem to you now, you as a personal being are particularizing and personalizing the universe's gift of past to you. So you can, in living that past, prepare a past for your eternal being to live. Is that okay?
I think so.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Just buzzing in my head here. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Wait a minute. That means, that you're preparing the past for your eternal being. You've always had the concept that your eternal being was eternal in the front and in the past, so that the eternal being was first and then you came from that. No. That's not true. You're preparing the past for an eternal being to live. You're out front. You, Patrick, are ahead of or living in head of the time and space of your eternal being. How about them apples?
Them apples, actually, as you say it now, it seems so perfectly clear, of course.
Well, wait a minute. Let me see if I get this right. I don't want to make any mistakes here. If the universe is preparing a past for you to live, aha! And you are preparing and living a past so that you can prepare a past for your eternal being to live. Are you willing to understand? Wait, think here now. That I am preparing a past for you to live? And at the same time, what? I am preparing a past for you to live, and at the same time, watch this, you are preparing the past for me to live. I said we were going to tell you a few different weird things about time. Now, ain't that weird? I'm ahead of you preparing a past for you to live, but you are ahead of me preparing the past for me to live.
Through entanglement.
What?
Through entanglement.
And other things, yes. See, we look at entanglements only in the sense, normally, in the sense of a time-related situation. I'm trying to get you out of thinking in a time sequence that is constructed by language, you see? This is what's going on. I'm preparing a past for you to live, and I'm ahead of you, preparing a past for you to live, and you're ahead of me, preparing a past for me to live. Now, how the hell does that work out? Maybe you ought to consider, instead of thinking, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, maybe you should consider creating a past for others that is the past that you would want them to create for you. How about them apples? Well, each and every moment of your life is filled with relationships. Oh, you relate to people, you relate to things, you relate to thoughts and ideas and your emotions, events, and activities. And you even relate to yourself, sort of. And everything that you relate to has, everything that you relate to has previously been prepared, such that you are always relating to the past of everything, of all these things. So, in the same time, they are relating to your past. So we can say then that, believe it or not, you and everything in your life, and especially everyone in your life, is living one step ahead of the other. How do you suppose that's possible? I'm not going to give you the answer. So, are you living for yourself today, or are you preparing a way for others? Kind of hard to say, isn't it? Maybe that's the problem, because you can't really tell. Well, maybe you could consider preparing the way for others as you would have your way prepared for you. Doesn't that give you a better view or perspective of the way to live in life? Rather than do unto others as you would have them do to you, wouldn't it be nice if in all of this you were preparing the way so that others would prepare the way for you? And then get the hell out of the way, not interfere, that they're merely preparing the way? But if you are not preparing the way, they are not. You can close this off. If you are causing, then they are struggling to cause. What I'm suggesting in all of this is that you can actively live in this way, should you choose to do so. So I guess more than judging yourself, maybe you should stop and consider what past at every moment you are preparing for others to see and follow. Well, in every moment of your life, you are living in an environment already prepared for you by the universe. Maybe you see that, maybe you don't. But the universe is living one step ahead of you. I got news for you. At the same time, you are living one step ahead of the universe, and in that declaring the universe, in a sense, what you would want prepared for you. Hey, I think that came up from a couple of weeks ago when I got on an airplane and went over to Honolulu and hit Andrew with a hammer. In doing that, was I not preparing the way for Andrew? Hello, Andrew.
Yeah, I kind of don't get that at all.
Well, if you don't get that at all, then everything I've said tonight, you don't get nothing at all about that either.
Maybe it's the trauma of the example.
That's right. Maybe it is because you're too busy thinking cause that you can't relate to. Maybe you haven't announced yourself to the world or to me. Is it possible then that in preparing the way for others, the great deal of that preparation is to announce who's doing it? Who's doing what to whom? Or for whom?
Yeah, I got this question. So, if by my declaration I decide what events are for me, how did you prepare the past for me?
I prepared the past for you by getting on an airplane, going over there, and hitting you with a hammer.
But you didn't prepare what that was for me.
Oh, now you're beginning to be understanding, and that's the absolute truth. That's where you went amok 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yes, I prepared the past, but I didn't prepare the what of the past.
Okay.
Do you understand that now?
Yeah, I think I understand that now, yes.
Okay. So, we can say that in every moment of your life, you are living in an environment already prepared for you by the universe and by others. And you are preparing an environment for others. Well, all right, I'm going to try to illustrate this. I hate to do this, but I'm going to try to illustrate this. If you go to a live play, does everybody know what a live play is? Let's say a comedy. If you go to that live play, that comedy, and sit way in the back row of the theater, maybe up in the balcony, and if you pay close attention to how, as a humorous line is spoken on the stage, the laughter begins at the front row and moves to the rear, as the funny line moves farther and farther into the past of space and time from the speaker. You in the balcony may even be living in the past of the line delivered on stage and the front row laughter. So your past, in that case, is entirely different than people in front of you. And like my father was one of these guys who would sit in the theater, and we were usually sitting three quarters of the way back or so, but a funny line would occur and he would either get it or not, but after everybody has laughed the line, he'd then be coming ho 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 ho, and that would start everybody up again. You're going to say, oh, well, Roger, that was all occurring, and that was because it took that long for the voice to move from here and the sound to get from the stage and through the people and then the laughter that's there. I don't care how you describe it. You in the back row are living a different past than the people in the front row are living. And the speaker on the stage with a humorous line was preparing a past when it got to you for you to live. Reasonable, but you don't look at it that way. That whole past stuff, when you look at it from past and get out of past, present, and future, get out of living in the present, get out of living in the now, you're always living in the past. It's a different past. It's a non-time past. That's what's going on. Then as the sound of the humorous line and the laughter goes back into further past from the speaker on the stage, everybody is living a different past. So the speaker on the stage is preparing a past that is different for everybody in the theater. Oh, and then by the time you get it in the back end, like my father, and you laugh, then it goes forward, which creates a different past, and everybody up in the front row is living an entirely different past. You brought the past forward again. Does anybody see that?
Yes.
Well, if you don't understand that, then may. But if you do, but if you don't, then can you understand this? The I Love Lucy show that was on television in 1954 that we watched every Sunday night and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed to is still out in the atmosphere, moving away from the earth, preparing a past for anybody out there. Does any of that help you understand the universe is preparing a past? And that, Lucy's gone now, and yet it's still going. I'm trying to get you to see your life in an entirely different way than we have been looking at it. So all of this, then, if you begin to understand this, makes it foolish for you to say in any way, well, the past is done and gone, only lives in memory, you can't do anything about that, so it's gone. Forget the past. And the future hasn't arrived yet, so there's nothing you can do about that, so live in the now. That's crap. That's language. There is no now. It's all past. You okay with that? So the division of life into past, present, and future is only a language delusion. So, you're always creating past, you're living in the past, creating past, and etc. How else could it be? Well, in that's the case, if everything we've said tonight is reasonably understandable, could you not then understand that if we consider your beginning story, maybe your beginning story was like Catholicism, which you thought was gone and past and there's nothing you could do about that. That past of your beginning story is still alive and well, still preparing for you to live today. The question is that beginning story of the past that is still preparing and still living today, is that what you want to continue?
That's a good question.
You see? Well, then in that regard, yeah, maybe you understand that. In fact, you have the authority to live as you truly desire. For the universe promises to be to you as you are unto the universe. Do you understand that one, Andrew?
Can't hear you, Andrew.
Well, I think so.
Oh, okay. You really do?
I think so.
Well, let me see then. We can say, you have the authority to live as you truly desire, for the universe promises to be to you as you are to yourself. Do you understand that?
I think so.
Those two sentences are not contradictory?
They're not contradictory, no.
Why are they not contradictory?
I mean, the function is the same.
It doesn't matter. How are they not contradictory? If I in if I in my life come
really
over there,
they're working different, but it shows they're working the same, and just these what different focuses or different aspects is working the same.
No, I said they are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume that.
No, I don't understand what you mean then. Why they are the same?
Because
I doubt you would argue with me that I'm not the universe.
No, but I would say that as you are to yourself, that is how you are to the universe.
Oh, okay.
And therefore, then, in a sense, when I said when I came over there to Honolulu and hit you with a hammer, I am doing that to myself. Then that is the way I am doing to the universe.
Can I ask you a question on that, or do you want to keep going somewhere else?
No, it's all right. I want to get some of this expressed.
Okay. I will hold it.
No, I said no. I want anything that comes up, I want to get
it. Here's my question. If the event is to me as I am to myself, and it has nothing to do with the event per se, the physical circumstances that we can see and record events per se, why wouldn't you say in this, hang on a second, sorry. I gotta change my tape because I really want to hear this answer. Okay, so my question to this is could we not say, or why would you not say that you did that hammer hitting to me, but what that event was to you was what you did to you? Because I could, record the whole thing, but I can't record what that is to you. And your statement is that you do that thing that you did to me to yourself.
Andrew, a little while ago you said, yes, you're preparing the way, but not the what.
Right, exactly.
But now you're putting the what back in.
That's what I'm trying to understand here. So
it wasn't
come over to Honolulu and hit me with a hammer, you doing that to me or doing that to you, you're doing that to you.
I'm doing that to me. To you, that is a random event.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, since we don't know what that is to me, since we don't know what that event is to you, why not describe it as you did the hitting to me, but what that event was to you, the what that was, that you did.
I'm trying to get you to understand that it was a random event to you. You won't go there.
You mean random by, like, it had no meaning in my life. It was a blank event for me to write on.
No, what is my definition of random? And I use the word random. I have said random only means not intentional. It means nothing else. It doesn't mean accidental.
Right.
It doesn't mean chaotic. It means there was no intention behind that.
Right.
So it's a random event to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You made it hurtful, harmful, painful, pissed offful.
Okay, right. Well, anyway, that's okay. Let's just talk about this later, because I could kind of go further.
Why? If you don't understand it, then I would suspect that, that everybody else doesn't understand it either, and therefore it ought to be discussed, or if somebody else can jump in and give us an answer that is so clear and succinct, we'll be glad to accept it.
Because I think my question is, I'm not quite getting,
what if you looked at it as, I didn't do it to you, I prepared a past for you to live. Or not.
Hey, I think that jives. I just following the original words of the question is what I was trying to stick to. So what you just said now, I think that makes sense.
But that's what random means, in a sense. It's random, and then you particularize it. You personalize it as you truly desire. So it is a preparation of a past, but not of a what past.
So when you say you do that to you, what's the that you did to you? That's what.
Well, don't consider me. We only want you to consider you. I said.
The statement was about you, not about me, or the effect, or the consequences of the action.
But you took it personally about you, and now we're discussing or trying to get across in terms of that was preparing a past for you. I said it was intentional for me, therefore it's not random.
I understand that.
Okay.
I understand that.
All right.
And I understand that I put my own thing on it. But the statement is that you did that to you. What's the that?
The hitting you. All right, let me back up.
Huh?
What? 2 hours ago, 2 hours ago, we said to Patrick that an event, there is an appearance of an event and a meaning, or, I mean, there is an event that I can see, and there is a meaning of that event. We didn't use meaning. What was the word we used? Well, whatever. So that other is the eternalness of that event.
Okay.
So when I did that to me, what I did was the eternalness of that to me. I did the action, but if I am aware...
Wait, you did the action. What action did you do?
I got on a plane and went over and hit you.
So you did that action.
Yeah.
But you didn't do that action to you. You did the eternal meaning to you. Is that correct?
That's doing the action. The action has two sides. The what we see and what we don't see. In the same way as your body, there is something your body we see doing, and then there is a... the part that we don't normally see. So you see me doing that, but I did the aspect of that to myself that we don't normally see.
Thank you. I understand that completely.
But now then, okay, that's fine. You understand that. Now then, let's go to you. It was not done to you. It was preparing a past for you. And it is then how you respond, how you particularize that and respond is preparing an environment for you to live in however way you want to.
Yep.
And if you are aware of your eternal self, if you are aware of then your being and living your eternal self, then you would be living not the action, but the meaning and the eternal meaning and significance of the action.
Right. Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
I think so. It's been, it's really fascinating listening to you guys work that through to a place,
But you see, it's kind of like where we started with the body. How can the body be one thing, deteriorate, fall apart, and be eternal? Because there is an action that is a personal action or a mortal action, and there is a, let's call it, eternal function.
So then to really speak of these things correctly or completely or accurately, whatever the word is, I can't really talk about one part of it.
You can. The universe will allow you in cause and effect to always and only be living the the action.
Well, sure.
What I'm trying to
talk about it completely.
But I know, but in order to talk about it completely, you have to be willing to step into the shoes of eternal and talk about that and live it as an eternal function. Not as a personal action, but as an eternal function.
Yeah. So, and if I want to communicate to somebody, then I just personally from this experience, I'm thinking I'm not going to just... I don't think I can intermix the two and communicate what I mean.
You have to. I don't disagree. You've got to have the same struggle that I go through. If you only talk about it from an eternal perspective, they won't understand. If you only talk about it from a personal perspective, they get lost in this an emotional right. cause and effect.
Right. But what I'm saying is, I wouldn't necessarily. Well, but just my personal thing is, I guess, because I see what you're saying, and if I want to communicate to somebody, I'm thinking that maybe a good way would be to, create the context that I'm going to talk. Like you say, create the past that I'm going to live. Create the context in which I'm going to talk to them about it.
Oh, you have and to. You have you to know, do that.
Right, because if I start in a causal image and I end with them in a eternal meaning, I think there's no...
You lost them on the way.
That's what I'm saying, yes. Okay, so that's what I think I understand now. So I can... Yeah, I got it.
Both are occurring at the same time, and you have to, like the exercises I gave you, get out of yourself and switch position. And what I said is, we don't normally do that, but if you're going to listen to my words, you have to switch positions constantly. But in most cases, I'm always speaking of these things from an eternal context, from an eternal perspective, from an eternal in terms of a recurring perspective. So, I did that, yes, but from an eternal perspective, it's a whole different function, is it not?
Right.
Okay. So, what you then do is be able to say, okay, then, if you can understand that what's going on in your life from an eternal perspective is entirely different or other than the events themselves, then you have to give yourself a way to have an eternal perspective. And that's what the eternal self does. It allows you to step into that position and see the event from an eternal perspective. We okay with that?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know if we lost everybody.
No, I don't think.
All right, well, in any case then, I guess we might as well, there's no sense in going on into getting too involved in going back into the authority of man too far, yet where we left off weeks and weeks and weeks ago. So we'll leave it there and pick this up next week.